Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. I'm Lee Robertus in the news tonight. Moscow Council agrees to let Latah County Sheriff transport some people. Moscow police arrest to Lewiston once the jail closes in October. But the council heavily criticizes Latah County for lack of communication about the jail problem. Fires in Spokane as region faces red flag warning. And Idaho's extreme right Republican Party wants to take away nonpartisan school board elections in the state. At a Republican meeting late last month, we'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And you're tuned to KRFP Moscow Pullman and live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho. I'm Lee Robertus, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Weather officials have issued a red flag warning for the Palouse and Hells Canyon region due to low humidity and breezy conditions starting tomorrow at 11 a.m. and ending at 8 p.m. tomorrow night. In the Spokane area, where conditions are already dangerous, the red flag warning started today and will also extend through tomorrow at 8 p.m. Officials in Spokane ordered the immediate evacuation of Spokane Falls Community College and the nearby area this afternoon after reports of four fires burning along the Spokane River. Officials lifted all the evacuation orders around 5:30 p.m. The Spokesman Review website reports Washington Natural Resources Department spokesperson Ryan Roderick said crews believe there were four separate fire starts along the river. A fire reported on West Elliott Drive around 2:30 p.m. is one of the fires. It burned about 4 acres. Spokane Fire Department spokesperson Justin DeReuter said the fires are suspicious. The region is roasting under a short heat wave that is expected to subside tomorrow as a front moves through, but with the front will come winds which could cause any fire starts to quickly spread. DeReuter said on Monday, there is only really a few days a year where people need to be really concerned, but tomorrow is one of those days. I want people's hair to stand up on the back of their necks when we have these days, not to be scared, but to be aware. DeReuter says people should have emergency evacuation plans in place and should reference the Washington Department of Natural Resources Ready Neighbors website. Spokane County Fire District 9 Assistant Fire Chief Nathan Jeffries said people should be cautious of activities that could cause sparks during red flag warnings, including fireworks, mowing weeds, extinguishing cigarettes on the ground, or starting a vehicle over dry grass. The Moscow City Council voted 5-1 last night to adopt a memorandum of agreement with Latah County, under which Latah County Sheriff's deputies would transport some of the people the Moscow Police Department arrest to the Nez Perce County Jail in Lewiston once Latah County closes the jail at the courthouse in Moscow at the end of September. According to the memorandum, the county plans to continue using the jail as a temporary court holding facility during business hours on weekdays ending at 6 p.m. The sheriff's department would transport those arrested by the Moscow Police Department to Lewiston during the hours of operation for the court holding facility and on special event weekends when city police would potentially make more arrests than usual. Earlier this year, Latah County officials announced they will be closing the Latah County Jail on September 30th because the jail is not up to state standards. That would mean the Moscow Police Department would be responsible for transporting the nearly 250 people they arrest each year to Lewiston, which the agenda item said will place significant financial and personnel stress on the Moscow Police Department at a time when it is struggling with staffing. City Supervisor Bill Belknap presented the memorandum to the City Council last night before the vote.
But ultimately, the county determined that they felt the jail was in need of such repair that it was not feasible to make those repairs, and felt that closing the jail was the best action available to the county. This will have significant adverse impacts on us. We will now be required to transport anybody that we do arrest, which is about 250 people per year currently, down to the Nez Perce County Jail. So on that June 10th meeting on the commissioner's agenda, they had discussion of closure of the jail. They had approval of this document, this MOU that you're reviewing this evening, and they also had approval of a contract with Nez Perce County to house inmates, detainees for them. So in order to try, I've been working with the county, as I mentioned, over the course of the last 10 months, trying to look at ways that we could help reduce the impact upon the community, upon the city, upon the police department. We have developed this memorandum of agreement between the city and the county. Essentially, the county will be operating their court holding facility from, I think, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And so the county has agreed that if they're operating that holding facility during those hours, and if we arrest somebody during that time period, we can bring them to the current Latah County Jail, where they'll be booked, processed, and if necessary, transported down to the Nez Perce detention facility. In addition, there are some special event weekends included in the MOU. Those could be home football games, graduation, others, where we might have more people in town and maybe a slightly higher likelihood that we might have to arrest somebody during that time period. And so they have also agreed to operate the facility, the holding facility, from 6 p.m. until 2 a.m. on those or through the course of weekend if it's a weekend long event. So certainly we are disappointed that the jail will be closing, but we also are thankful to our work with the county sheriff's office and commissioners to prepare the MOU, try to help minimize this impact upon the city and upon the department. So really, the city does not have any real specific obligations under this. This, for the most part, this is the county agreeing that essentially it will make that facility available for booking, processing, and transporting during their normal hours of operations and on those special event weekends. There are some exceptions. If we have an arrestee that's exceptionally combative, then we'll have to transport them directly down. It doesn't make sense trying to get them out of the vehicle to get back into another vehicle to get them down to the jail facility. That's not likely to be a frequent occurrence, but there'll be situations like that where there'll be, even if they're operating, we may transport directly down to Lewiston.
That was Moscow City Supervisor Bill Belknap at last night's City Council meeting. The Memorandum of Agreement will be in effect for 3 years. The memorandum has a termination clause in which either party can unilaterally withdraw with 90 days' notice. In response to a question from the council about how it's possible for the Latah County Jail to not be up to standards but still operate as a daytime holding facility, Belknap listed the four major problems with the jail that the county apparently cannot fix.
End up with four kind of major life safety items they needed to address: the sprinkler heads that were missing in locations where they needed to be, the fire alarm system was reaching end of life, so you could not get replacement parts for it anymore. I think they were getting used parts off eBay or other sources to keep that system operational. It was identified that that needed to be replaced at some point. It wasn't an immediate need because it's still currently functioning, but it is nearing end of life. They also had a couple locations in the jail where they didn't have visibility, needed to add security cameras. And then I think they needed to have three SCBA, self-contained breathing apparatus, in order to be able to evacuate prisoners. The state has standards, jail standards, but they really don't have adopted temporary holding facility standards. Oh.
If police take a person to the Nez Perce County Jail in Lewiston and then they bond out or are otherwise released, neither the Moscow Police or the Latah County deputies would be providing return transportation to Moscow. Once released, it would be up to the prisoner to arrange their transportation back to Latah County. Councilmember Haley Lewis was the only vote against the Memorandum of Understanding.
It's unfair to our citizens in Moscow who will be affected by this. It is unfair to the Sheriff County staff how this has all played out. I think the communications on the county's part have been really disappointing. It's unkind to what we can control, which is the dignity of work for our Moscow police officers, department officers. And by extension, it's unkind to the sheriff deputies who are having to navigate what they may have trained for being reduced to playing a shuttle driver. And for me, what it comes down to is I can usually use this at work and it makes sense in a corporate setting. And I know that doesn't totally work in this case, but I strongly believe that someone's failure to plan does not constitute an emergency on my part. And I'm really frustrated that as public servants, we are having to address this failure to plan on the county's part and failure to communicate. Town is too small for this. Our communities are too small for this. And so I'm not sure that anyone's excited about this. It feels like a very crusty olive branch being extended to work with us on this. And what I'm really, really, really frustrated by is if we were in a situation where the city desperately needed or needed to plan for a new fire station or other bond for city services, that it's like a race to the finish line. And I'm really frustrated that the county and the sheriff's department failure to plan is resulting in something that would potentially derail the chance for us to successfully pass a school bond if that is what the separate governing entity of the school board and school district wanted to do. I'm really frustrated. We're too small for this. We are pulling from the same pool of very limited resources. And so I guess I'm just espousing my disappointment. And I don't want to approve anything because I don't actually approve of it. So that's my deliberation and food for thought for you all.
That was Moscow City Council Member Haley Lewis. The other city council member said they might as well accept the memorandum of agreement from the county because the only alternative once the jail is closed would be for the city police to transfer all prisoners to Lewiston and not use the Latah County holding facility at all. Here's comments from City Council Member Drew Davis, followed by Gina Tarusio.
We're in the business of community equity and partnership. And there hasn't been, from my perspective, community partnership from the county on this issue. The reasons why I feel that way are because this hasn't been deliberated in a public setting very clearly, not only to the city and to city leadership, but also to the residents of Latah County. And I happen to be one of those. That should be obvious to everyone here because I live in Moscow. And so I look at the options, one that have been put forth in the newspaper. You know, the technique, let's prime the pump through the newspaper to get what we want, as Council Member Lewis has stated, of, you know, there's other governing entities that have interest. And so, for example, when an article was talked about how we could use a local option tax, the county could use a local option tax for a prison, to me, that clearly suggests that they don't know the temperature of the legislature in Idaho. And if we're going to use a local option tax, I think we should be using that to benefit the residents of the county. And clearly an argument could be made that a prisoner, but to me, that is the last stop of how communities fulfill people or the very extreme individuals need a place to go. Local option tax should benefit, I think, the development of families and children and other individuals in the area. But we have to think about human nature and human ability on this. And I'm disappointed that the county hasn't thought about this. So, for example, where my mind has gone on this issue is we have, whether you pick your whoever you want, sheriff or deputies here in Moscow, whoever they may be, it's late. They've worked a hard shift. They've worked a couple shifts, and now something occurs where it might not be the largest crime, but now they have, and it's a half an hour. So now they're going to add multiple hours onto a long shift already, take people down. And I agree that could happen where I know they're going to do that. But over time, in my opinion, we're going to see an increase countywide of small crime, because that's going to be a difficult thing for officers, deputies to be involved with. And what we need to be saying as a community and as a county is that we value safety for all of our citizens. That is something that should always be talked about. And to me, this decision that wasn't made in a public forum, it had a preset idea that we're going to close a jail. And then they've gone through multitude and a myriad of solutions to try to validate an opinion that affects all of us in our public safety. Furthermore, through this issue, I say why. And I wish I could answer that, and I wish that our commissioners and other people could answer it, but they can't. And better is possible in a variety of ways, but it's definitely better on this issue. And I'd like to thank our staff, Chief Dollinger, thank you, and your officers for working with this. This issue is not over, and collaboration is needed throughout this whole process. And I would appreciate if anyone from the county or leadership from the county that has concerns with what I say, contact me directly. I am more than happy, and I'm looking at the cameras, more than happy to sit down and talk with you about this. This is me as someone that has been elected to represent in a community. And so if you don't like what I'm saying, talk to me.
What I'm experiencing right now is just such a complete disappointment in what we have worked so hard in the time that I've been sitting at this desk. The partnerships in our community have been what has made it strong. Just like Jenny was saying tonight about the heart of the arts and the city of Moscow, those little tiny connections that make us a great place. And what we have here is one of our pieces of our mission, public safety. That is, I'm scratching my head. I mean, I was in the loop in the beginning when we started hearing these things. And I got to tell you, I guess I had a hope that we would somehow meet in the middle, and that we would, and maybe this MOU is the best we can do for the time being. You know, I'm not happy with it either. I don't think any of us are. But the fact of the matter is, it's here, and it is the way that we're going to have to exhibit or do our thing for a while. But it's just such an absolute collapse of what ought to be essential communication in our county.
That was Moscow City Council member Gina Tarusio speaking at last night's City Council meeting, preceded by Council member Drew Davis. Police Chief Anthony Dollinger said his department normally has 3 officers on patrol at minimum. He said his officers will take turns being on call to transport prisoners to Lewiston if needed. City Supervisor Bill Belknap said the on-call schedule for Moscow police to transport arrestees, along with wear and tear on police vehicles, will cost the city about $125,000 per year. Communication about the Latah County Jail has been an issue since October, when county officials announced the jail was likely not in compliance with standards and might need to close. That came during contested election races for county commission seats and sheriff. Latah County Treasurer B.J. Swanson told commissioners in mid-June they should pause Sheriff Richie Skiles' plan for sending all people arrested in Latah County to the Nez Perce County Jail in Lewiston until there can be a public meeting on the issue. Earlier in June, Sheriff Skiles announced beginning in October the 53-year-old Latah County Jail would only be used as a daytime court holding facility starting in October. Sheriff Skiles said the cost of modernizing the jail's fire suppression, plumbing, electrical, and camera systems would be $13 million, and that would only add 5 to 10 years to the jail's useful life. Swanson said there has only been limited public discussion of the plan, and a public meeting would allow county officials to give a full justification to citizens for the closure of the jail. She said the public meeting should include a cost analysis and long-term plans. She also said the recent decision by commissioners and the sheriff's department seemed rushed and politically motivated. Swanson wrote on her Facebook page in early June, "Why the sudden rush to close the Latah County Jail? The jail passed inspection as recently as 2024. By comparison, it's in better condition than many others in Idaho, including neighboring Benoit County. If there is a specific inspection report or insurance determination driving this closure, the public deserves to see it. Was the facility deemed unsafe or uninsurable? If so, let's see the documentation. This decision carries major long-term consequences. Once closed, our jail is likely gone for good. Building a new facility, let alone a full law enforcement center, could cost upwards of $40 million. That would mean an estimated $300 annual increase to the average homeowner's property tax bill. It's highly unlikely that voters would approve a $40 million bond requiring a two-thirds majority. There are also serious implications for public safety. Deputies are already stretched thin. If only three officers are on duty at night and one has to spend hours transporting a domestic violence suspect to Nez Perce County, what happens in the meantime? Will they simply issue a citation instead of making a critical arrest, allowing an emotionally charged violent offender to go free? This process feels rushed and politically motivated. The community deserves answers, transparency, and time to understand the full implications. Release the inspection and insurance reports and clearly explain why the jail is being closed. The public deserves nothing less. That was a Facebook post by Latah County Treasurer B.J. Swanson from early June. County Commissioners Tony Johnson and Tom Lamar said there will be some details about the decision that cannot be discussed publicly because of safety and liability concerns.
KRFP programming is sponsored by listeners like you and by Essential Art Gallery and Fine Gifts at 203 South Main Street in Moscow, showcasing high-quality art, pottery, jewelry, art glass, sculptures, scarves, textiles, wood and metal art, and fine chocolate and gifts from regional, national, and international artists. KRFP is also sponsored by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.
And you're tuned into the KRFP Evening Report. During their annual summer meeting last month, the Idaho Republican Party Central Committee approved a resolution calling for making all nonpartisan elections in the state partisan races beginning in 2026. That would include city council and mayor elections, school board trustee elections, and library trustee elections, all of which are nonpartisan. City elections are held in odd-numbered years, while all the partisan elections take place in even-numbered years in Idaho. The Idaho Republican Party has been taken over by the far-right extremists, and the Central Committee has noticed that some school board, library board, city council, and other nonpartisan elections have not elected people from the far right. Central Committee member Ben Chaffetz of Boise sponsored the party resolution. According to the Idaho Education News, Chaffetz said, "Nonpartisan elections fail to provide voters with clear information about the moral and political stances of candidates, leaving citizens unable to hold officials accountable to a consistent party platform." In Latah County, nonpartisan elections did provide voters with clear information about the moral and political stances of candidates during the last few years. The Moscow League of Women Voters has consistently held candidates' forums for city, school board, and library trustee elections, and KRFP has endeavored to interview all candidates in contested nonpartisan races. The resolution claims that school boards and city councils are pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs with the idea that those are bad things. Chaffetz had specific criticism for school boards. The resolution says the presence of sexual books and materials in school libraries and curricula, often championed by school board trustees and reflective of liberal ideologies, exposes children to content that may conflict with the values of many Idaho families. The resolution calls for State Republican Party Chair Dorothy Moon to present the partisan elections proposal to the 2026 legislature, where Republicans hold an 86% supermajority. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, the National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning for Fire Zone 102, which is the Palouse and Hell's Canyon, which will be in effect from 11 a.m. tomorrow until 8 p.m. tomorrow. The red flag warning is for wind and low relative humidity. West winds 10 to 20 miles per hour with gusts around 30 miles per hour are expected across the region. Stronger outflow gusts possible from thunderstorms. The combination of low humidity and winds from the west gusting up to 30 miles per hour along with isolated thunderstorm outflow winds may result in critical fire weather conditions, increasing the risk for new and existing fires to spread quickly. A red flag warning means critical fire weather conditions are either occurring now or will occur shortly. And the forecast for the Moscow Pullman area is calling for a chance of sprinkles after midnight tonight, mostly clear, low 59. A chance of sprinkles before 8 a.m. tomorrow. Sunny, high 85. West winds 10 to 15. Gusts up to 30. Partly cloudy Wednesday night. Low 54. Breezy. West winds 15 to 20. Sunny Thursday. High 78. West winds 10 to 15. Gusts up to 20. Clear Thursday night. Low 51 and sunny. High 87 on Friday. Currently 90 degrees. We've got a current reading down in the LC Valley. Lewiston, 102 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option, and there's also a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next, and that'll be followed by Rude Awakening 7:30. Stay tuned for more KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
John's Alley Tavern, Moscow's home of live music. John's Alley is located at 114 East 6th Street in downtown Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Friends of the Clearwater, a 501c3 environmental nonprofit dedicated to protecting your public lands. FOC is defending the wildlands, wildlife, and waterways of North Central Idaho for future generations. Friendsoftheclearwater.org.